This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hi, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Carolina Panthers, you are on the clock for a preview today. NFC South. Last week, AFC South, and we did talk about the Indianapolis Colts. We talked about the whole division and how competitive it will be. Now with Andrew Luck out, it'll be interesting to see where the Colts go from here. It was a shocking, shocking bit of news that 29-year-old Andrew Luck announced his retirement. In retrospect, it was understandable as to why he was doing it. Guys are getting smarter and smarter about their futures, and you're seeing it more in this league. But it doesn't happen in any other sport but this. Baseball guys do not go at 28 years old, you know what, I can't suffer all of these injuries all the time. And maybe you got one or two guys that can't hit the curveball or can't pitch anymore, or, you know, like Mark Pryor, he got injured. Some of these guys get Tommy John surgery and they're great, and some guys get surgery and they're not. But for the most part, you don't see the reoccurrence in basketball, baseball, hockey that you do in the NFL, where guys are starting to look at their lives and going, look, I've made enough money and I really don't want a future of agonizing pain and injuries that never go away. You hear that a lot in older NFL guys when they say, look, I have a hip injury. It just never really quite healed. And I just live with the pain. Or I got back problems. Or I got leg problems. Whatever it is, they reach an age where they just live with it. And then they find doctors that can help them just live with it rather than not have any pain and be completely healthy. They just survive. It's really sad when I used to go to golf tournaments sometimes and I would see like aging football players, and some of them had hard times getting out of the golf cart. You know, they could still play golf, but man, they dealt with a lot of agonizing pain. Andrew Luck knew that. He's smart enough to know that. And I think this latest injury of his made him go, look, what kind of life do I want to live? What does it say about the game? What does it say about the league? Well, coming up, the fan reaction and then the players' reaction to Andrew Luck's retirement. And guess what? It was really, really different. That's coming up next. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's, please, on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Again, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, and your thoughts on the Andrew Luck retirement. All right, so fan reaction was a little different than the player reaction. Did you notice that players, whether former players or current players, had nothing but love and understanding for Andrew Luck?
Now, oh, of course.
A lot of it wasn't going to be, like, guys weren't going to be critical. Like, J.J. Watt wasn't going to go, I don't get it. I mean, I'd play till I was 40. What's his problem? And they're all going to say nice things. But it's really more than that. These guys really get it. They really understand what's going
through. But I do wish a defensive player, like someone like J.J. Watt, who played him twice a season every year, could come out and just go, you know, I'm really going to miss hitting that dude.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Players, I love putting him on his backside.
Fans, of course, don't, a lot of fans anyway, for the most, you know, there were fans who kind of got it, but a lot of fans don't really get it. And I think you hit it on the head when we were talking about this. Just they see Tom Brady like play until he's 41. They see Philip Rivers continuing to play. Ben Roethlisberger's 38 and he's continuing to play. And it's, so here's a guy who's 29. I'm going to rehab from this injury and then I really only have like 2 years left. I mean, it was a guy who was 29. He still had all of his 30s or most of his 30s to continue to play for a Super Bowl. And they just, it's hard for them to process a guy quitting something they really love. There is one cliche I want a lot of you to lose out of your vocabulary. And there's one, I can't stress this enough. If there's one cliche you need to all lose is when you see something like this, or you see a player holding out, or you see a player dissatisfied with something, you, a lot of you go out and say, I don't understand. I would play for free. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't play for free. You think you'd play for free, but you wouldn't play for free. The moment you're really good at something like this, whether it's quarterback, running back, playing sports, anything, anything in which somebody is going to take that talent and make themselves a room full of money, you're going to want a piece of that. Now, you may love football, but when it's a business, trust me, you would not do it for free. It's like the Joker says in Batman, when you're good at something, don't do it for free. You wouldn't do it for free. You look at Andrew Luck, if you're critical of Andrew Luck, you look at Andrew Luck and you say, how could he walk away from something I would do for nothing? Right? That's not the way to look at it. Because you don't have any idea, unless you're working in a physical job, that you get hurt often, what he goes through, what he has to go through physically with his body, how it reacts to getting hit. He is dealing with getting hit like a car crash every single time he gets hit. And he gets hit a lot. He's gotten hit a lot. The list of injuries on this guy is insane. It's insane. The whole I'd play for free thing is a cliche, but I understand why people say it. There is this understanding that those people are blessed, and sometimes they don't see the blessings in front of them. And, you know, if you work at a job where it's very monotonous, but you do it to pay the mortgage and help your kids, you don't really love it. You don't hate it, but you don't really love it. You can't understand why somebody is so business-oriented to something that they love, that you love as well. And I get it, but trust me, you wouldn't do it for free. I mean, I've seen this firsthand. I've seen guys in, you know, after games. I mean, it's hard to watch some guys going through these injuries. I mean, it's painful. It's really, really painful. I can't imagine some of the pain some of these guys have to go through watching all the hits that they take. I can't get up. I mean, I wouldn't be able to get up.
And like you said, I mean, you know, the list of injuries he's had before age 29 is astonishing. It's not only that, but you have to think about this too, that all his injuries really came in the last 4 years.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's
this
right.
4 year span, I mean, he's had what? It was probably a 7 year career?
Yeah, since 2012.
7, 8 year career.
Yeah.
So, I mean, during that time, he started off hot, led his team to the playoffs, went to the AFC Championship game twice, probably should have went to the Super Bowl. If it wasn't for Deflategate, we never know.
Yeah, right. We'll never know.
But the bulk of his injuries have came in the last 3 to 4 years.
Zach Kiefer on Twitter, I think he has one of the most powerful tweets of this saga. He's from The Athletic, and he wrote, physical toll on Andrew Luck through 6 NFL seasons. Torn cartilage in 2 ribs, partially torn abdomen, a lacerated kidney that left him peeing blood, at least one concussion,
And that's true. All we know is about one.
Is one, right? A torn labrum in his throwing shoulder and this mysterious calf ankle issue that led to this. He's 29. Listen to all of those things. I mean, that is, I'm surprised he didn't retire earlier than
you know
than
what? Honestly, maybe he is a Civil War veteran.
Maybe he is, right?
I mean, when you hear all those lists, you're like, my God, you had to have fought in a war.
But remember, too, he doesn't sound like Andrew Luck wanted to do this. He just had to do this. I guarantee you that if he was healthy, if he didn't have this calf injury, he'd probably still be playing. I think this calf injury, this ankle injury, whatever it is, and by the way, let's rewind it. Remember how we kept saying, this is weird, right? He should be playing. Why isn't he playing? This is weird. And they just kept adding more time to this recovery.
I'm just curious, you know, when we talk about this calf injury leading to ankle injury, is it a Kevin Durant injury?
Yeah, right.
You know, where there's really no timetable, it's a calf strain. Maybe Andrew Luck was sitting there like, you know what, if I go out there and play, you know, maybe the doctor was saying like, you know, listen, this is the exact same thing Kevin Durant had. If you go out there and play, there's no guarantee that this could happen or it won't happen, but you saw what happened with Durant where he popped his Achilles.
Yeah.
And Andrew Luck may be looking at that going, okay, so if I go out there and I play, I tear my Achilles, I'm out for another year, I'm doing this whole thing, song and dance again.
And I got to do this whole thing over again.
What's the point?
Right. I can't do this anymore. Especially when you have a bank account that's got $100 million.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I mean, he's a brilliant guy. He's a great football mind. You mean to tell me that he's just done? He's not done with football. He's just done playing.
Yeah.
He might take a year or two off, but somebody somewhere is going to offer him a front office position.
Oh, I agree completely. You're absolutely right.
And maybe it's in the XFL. I don't know.
Yeah, or a commentary job or whatever it is he wants to do.
I don't know about commentary. He's kind of dry.
But you're right about the way we see the quarterback position in this country. I mean, look, I think the running back and wide receivers and tight ends, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, I think a lot of us have some sort of feeling like, okay, yeah, I mean, getting hit by a Mack truck every play, I get it, right? I understand. I would leave too. I'd leave that early too. But the quarterback isn't supposed to be as hit this way. This league tries very hard to protect your quarterback. They try really hard to put in rules in place so that guys, because this is a serious investment. It just didn't work out for Luck. He had a terrible offensive line throughout most of his career, finally got a really good one last year, but the damage was already done. He was really, really beat up. But we look at Peyton Manning, we look at Eli Manning, Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, we look at Brett Favre. These guys have to be dragged from the game. They have to be dragged kicking and screaming from playing the game. They don't want to leave. We've said this about Tom Brady until it's a broken record. He'll probably have to figure out a way to stay in the league longer than the Patriots probably are going to want him past a serious point. Brady may not see his decline like the Patriots see his decline, and the decline is coming. It's just not coming today. Right. But eventually it's going to. Eventually it happens to everybody. Peyton Manning had the most powerful offense in the NFL. And 2 years later, he couldn't throw the ball 25 yards without it wobbling upside down. I mean, that's how quick it can go. Brady right now is a Super Bowl champion, but there's going to be a day really, really, really soon where that talent is going to drop off and the Patriots are going to have to make a decision on it. And I guarantee you, he's not going to see it the same way they are. He might play 1 year and, you know, somewhere else just to keep playing until he reaches 45 to prove a point.
Yeah, and that's usually what happens when you see... You know, I mean, think back to some of the great quarterbacks. We had Joe Montana in a Chiefs uniform, Johnny Unitas in a Chargers uniform, Brett Favre in multiple uniforms after his stint with the Packers.
Exactly.
And that's just because the team said, you know, we have to move on as an organization. We thank you for your service, but we're now looking towards the future. And they have to, I mean, you know, we always said this, football is a business. All these professional sports, it's a business first. But these guys, sometimes, you know, when you have a situation like that, they just want to keep playing. They can't walk away from the game.
They can't. And so Luck now walks away from the game at 29, and we go, wait, hold on. That's a lot different than what I've been, right? That's a lot different than what I've been used to, which is guys hanging around too long. I was so critical of people who were so angry at Brett Favre for coming out, retiring. I'm like, guys, calm down. This is a guy in his late 30s who can't figure out how to give up something he's worked his whole life for. You don't ever get it back. You can do most any job until you're 50, 60, 70 years old. Right? Most jobs you can do until you're late in retirement. But in the NFL, at any sport, it's usually around your late 30s when Father Time comes a knocking and you have to give it away. You have to give it up for good. And I said, don't blame him for going back and forth on this. This is really, really difficult. It's hard to do. Luck, it was a hard decision for Luck, but I think you're right. I think this latest injury made him go, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I can't. You're telling me that if I go out and play after week two, that you can bandage this thing up, but I could suffer an injury that's going to put me out for this year, all of the offseason rehabbing, maybe by training camp next summer I'll be back. I can't do this anymore. And I don't want to do it anymore. My career is not going to be going to physical therapy and going to rehab and working through another injury to try to play again, to get hurt again, and to go through this cycle. That's what he said. It's pain, rehab, pain, rehab, pain, rehab. It's a cycle. And he can't do it anymore. And I don't blame him. All right, we're going to talk about the Carolina Panthers coming up, a team that, man, looked really good, right? Was rolling along last year, and then pop, shoulder goes down, and they went 1-7 and missed the playoffs. We'll talk about Cam Newton's injury. We'll talk about whether Greg Olsen is going to be able to play. What's the best use of Christian McCaffrey? All that in our previews, but we'll love your thoughts on Andrew Luck, 800-224-2004, or on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. It's SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Now, Brendan Marks of the Charlotte Observer is going to join us in 12 minutes. We're going to talk about the Carolina Panthers as we continue our previews. NFC South week. Not as exciting as the AFC South. Boy, we really timed that out, right? Lamar Miller and Andrew Luck going down in a weekend. First of all, Andrew Luck retirement, okay. But these injuries in the preseason stink. They really stink. Mike Vrabel last night of the Tennessee Titans, head coach of the Titans, pulled Marcus Mariota immediately from that game last night, realizing his offensive line was terrible. They gave up a sack in the end zone. Steelers got a safety in the first quarter. He was like, that's enough.
That's it. And that's what you're supposed to do. We're still right? Shaking our heads at why Dan Quinn left Matt Ryan in after one sack. Right. After two sacks. He was still playing. He's like, what are you doing?
Mariota was 0-for-3, and that was his day was done. That offensive line was gone.
Yep, because like we said last week, if you lose a guy in the first game of the season, say the first series, offensive series in the first game of the season, you can live with it.
That's right. You're fine absolutely.
With it. Bad luck. It's unfortunate. You don't want it to happen, but you can live with it. Fan can live with it.
But the preseason?
Preseason.
Gotta be kidding me. Unreal. By the way, prepare for road trips before your travels begin. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So Cam Newton, he got hurt in the preseason too.
Yep.
We'll hear about that coming up. But he got hurt last year, and that was a big deal because the Panthers started off really good. They were 6-2 last year. And then all of a sudden, Cam Newton got hurt, and then they went 1-7. Now, Ron, listen to this. I'm going to ask this question of Brendan Marks from the Charlotte Observer. Okay, I get it. When a quarterback gets hurt, that can throw off your team. But shouldn't the Panthers be kind of ashamed of themselves? They went 1-7. They couldn't squeeze out a couple of more wins. I know their quarterback is hurt and he's the centerpiece, but it's almost like don't fall apart. Like squeeze out a win just on pride. Figure out how to win a few more games. They went 1-7 to close out the second half. They went 7-9, and they were out of the postseason. Just there should be more. Like the defense wasn't that good. Obviously, with Cam Newton out, it was that stunk. But they still had Christian McCaffrey. We'll also ask about Greg Olsen because he gets hurt a lot. But they've got an interesting team. Made a lot of changes.
McCaffrey, just real quick. Did you see? There was a Madden tweet going on out there.
Was this his mother tweeting back to him?
No. Somebody had tweeted out a picture of his profile on Madden.
Right.
And the guy all pretty much says, like, you know, there's something wrong with this photo. And it was had Christian McCaffrey, had all his stats, had his number, had his jersey, but it was an African-American player.
Yeah, and then Lisa McCaffrey said on Twitter, it's about time we told you that at Ed McCaffrey wasn't your dad. That was a family joke.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, Lisa McCaffrey tweeted out, and she used Ed McCaffrey's Twitter, that he goes, and just like it wasn't
all
your father.
I saw was Christian McCaffrey tweeted back, you know, because the guy had asked, what's wrong with this photo? Christian McCaffrey says, I don't wear a hand warmer.
Good for him. Good for him.
Oops, Madden.
God, Christian McCaffrey.
He's a machine.
Do you feel like we're on the verge of a breakout season? I felt that way last year. I felt that way when he was a rookie. And just wondering, will it actually happen? I mean, he has all the makings to be, you know, similar to like a Marshall Faulk.
What's so amazing about him is that what's the best way to use Christian McCaffrey? Because he catches the ball out of the backfield better than anyone in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, he can run. You can hand the ball off to him. But he is such a good catching back out coming out of the backfield. He had more catches as a tailback than anybody in the league last year. He is fantastic. He's such an amazing weapon.
Yeah, and if you're Cam Newton, that's got to be the best thing going for
Absolutely.
You. Because you can have a terrible offensive line if you're able to just, you know, 2 seconds, 3 seconds into a play, toss it over to the right side or left side, wherever he's standing.
I was happy with the Panthers. They got Chris Hogan, Steeler killer Chris Hogan, who was formerly with the Patriots. I was so thankful for that. But that's okay, because the Patriots will just find another guy I've never heard of to scorch the Steelers in the postseason.
Yeah, that's why we were surprised they didn't draft Hunter Renfrow in the first round.
Right, yeah.
Thought for sure that's your guy.
Absolutely. That's right.
Hunter even thought that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, don't worry. Yeah, I'm going to the Patriots. No big deal.
Yep. Exactly. Patriots do that all the time. But they got the defense was good, and then it kind of fell apart last year, so the Panthers, we'll have a preview on that. But, God, and Lamar Miller, how big of a blow is that to the Texans for Lamar Miller to go down? Because they felt like that they got rid of Dante Foreman.
Yeah.
They figured, all right, we got Duke Johnson and Lamar Miller. This is going to be a 1-2 punch. Now it's a one punch.
Yep. Now you're asking a lot of Duke Johnson, who has never, I mean, he has had games, but he's not a consistent back.
Right.
And now you're asking him to be like, hey, you're going to be our featured guy. We don't have anybody else.
God, preseason injuries stink. They just stink so bad.
And this one, I mean, you know what? You can't really fault the Texans for playing them.
No.
It's just, you know, usually with your running backs, I mean, sure, there's been certain running backs in history that don't. I remember LaDainian Tomlinson never saw a down of preseason. But he earned that, you know, later on in his career. Beginning of his career, yeah, you had to get him out there. Lamar Miller, I'm certain that the game plan was like, yeah, we're going to get you in a few series, just get you a few touches on the ball, so that way when game one hits, you're ready to run.
That game was, what, 33-34-0?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Okay, so when Lamar Miller goes down early in the game, how much fight do you think you're going to get from your starters after that?
Oh, bar many.
Right? You're going to be like, get out. I'm not playing anymore. Are you kidding?
Yep.
Watching a starter go down like that and just go, all right, I'm out. I'm done with this. No. You want to have a guy go out there to try to make the team? Good luck. I'm not playing.
I almost think that you would, if you were a starter and you were asked to go back out there, would you just say, I lost my helmet?
I can't find it.
Can't find it. I'm just walking off. Yeah, I'm going to be in the locker room. I don't care if you find me.
I've got the Spanish flu. I'm out of here. You don't want to catch this. You don't want me to give this to the rest of the team. I'm leaving. I'm going to go get quarantined. Goodbye.
Whole Ty Webb. Look, yeah. And just start walking around grabbing your quad.
Yeah, right. Exactly. By the way, I just saw this picture of the lightning that struck at the Tour Championship. Not to change this up. Did you see this?
That was fantastic.
What a great photo. A great photo. The lightning bolt actually striking and lighting up whatever it was hitting at the time.
People.
Perfect. Yeah, people. I know. This is why I'm deathly afraid of this stuff. I am so petrified of lightning. I'm like a little child.
You know what? But that's on the people. They suspended play because of weather. All the golfers were off the course at that moment in time. They were just out there hanging out, hoping. He's like, oh, I'm going to stand by this, you know, this tree right here, because when the play resumes, we got a good shot of Rory coming down the turn or whatever, Brooks Koepka and whatever.
Do you know why I'm petrified of lightning? One story from this week at the championship. A guy was on a golf cart. A lightning hit a tree. It didn't even hit him. And the explosion was so loud and powerful, he flew off the golf cart. Just by the impact of the lightning on the tree. Mother Nature don't play. I'm done with that. Oh, God, yep. Lightning. This was so frightening. But good picture. Deadspin's got it on Twitter. Good, good picture. All right, we're going to talk Carolina Panthers as our preview. Continues on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. Continuing our NFL previews, NFC South Week. It is the Carolina Panthers first up. Brendan Marks joins us from the Charlotte Observer in North Carolina to talk Panthers. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on, Tony. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Let's get with Cam Newton. How does he look now? I saw he was still in a walking boot, but no timetable's been given. That can be good or bad. What's the local diagnosis on this foot injury?
Yeah, so basically, Tony, the biggest thing to know about Cam's foot right now is that yesterday, going through the locker room, he was actually out of a walking boot. And so that's the biggest thing. And when he was first put in that boot on Thursday when he was leaving the New England game, obviously he leaves early with a mild foot sprain. The whole idea of putting him in that boot is more precautionary than anything, especially for somebody who's about to fly on an airplane. It can limit swelling. It can sort of stabilize that foot a little bit, if you will. So the team is cautiously optimistic from everyone I've spoken to that Cam's still going to be able to play week one. The biggest thing will be getting him back on the field in the next couple of days, and certainly next week before the first game against the Los Angeles Rams. But at this point, Cam is still tracking to play week one. It would take some sort of hitch or giddy up in that plan for him not to be available against the Rams.
All right, so last year they go 6-2. He suffers the shoulder injury. They go 1-7. They miss the playoffs. What was evident in his game as he was struggling with that shoulder injury? What was he not able to do? What was he really struggling with? And has he been able to overcome that in rehab?
Yeah, I mean, that's simple. The biggest thing was he just had no shoulder strength anymore. I mean, every single week he would tell us how tight and sore that shoulder felt. And as a result, it got to the point where the man could barely throw the ball 10 yards. I mean, you felt bad for him. In week 15 last year, they host the New Orleans Saints in Carolina. And the defense, I think, holds the Saints to about 13 points. And yet the Panthers' offense can't score at all because Cam can't throw the ball. And so you end up with a situation where you've got a quarterback who's known for having this great big arm and his arm strength and can throw it deep and everything. And he completely had that aspect of his game taken away. So that was the thing that everyone was curious about this summer, and he has certainly impressed to that extent. I mean, we see him connecting in practice with people like DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, even Greg Olsen, you know, 40, 45 yards down the field, the ball's traveling in the air. So there's definitely some optimism surrounding Cam. Obviously, the difference of whether or not that shoulder holds up as the season goes on, because if the same thing happens last year that happens this year, then the Panthers are going to be in trouble regardless if it's Cam or anybody else.
Brendan Marks joins us, Charlotte Observer, our Carolina Panthers in our NFL preview. Sponsored by Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. That's Progressive. Get a quote today at progressive.com. Talking about that 1-7 record, and listen, I completely get it. When your quarterback is very limited, it's hard to win games. But when you look back at the 1-7, should it have been just a little better? Was there other things that were going wrong? Or was it all because Cam Newton was just limited?
Yeah, I mean, everything starts with Cam, but I think it would be, you know, a little unfair to put the entirety of that 1-7 stretch on him. I mean, obviously his arm means that the offense wasn't functioning on all cylinders, but at the same time, the defense was fairly anemic in the terms of the pass rush over those few weeks. I think overall for the season, the Panthers finished like 27th in the league in sacks. I mean, they just had absolutely nobody who could consistently pressure the quarterback. And so they go out and they draft Brian Burns in the first round this year. Defensive end, outside linebacker out of Florida State. They really like his game, and he's got 4 sacks in 3 preseason games. Got an incredibly fast get off. So they're hoping that he's going to be able to come in and sort of ignite that pass rush a little bit, just because it was so dormant for so much of last season.
We know Ron Rivera is a smart defensive guy. Is he calling the defensive plays this year? Because I know he did late last season.
Yeah, he did, and he's going to continue to do that this year. It's sort of a joint thing where he's going to work with Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator, to call those plays. But he definitely has admitted to us that he's got his fingers more in that pot than he might have in years past. He spent more time in defensive meeting rooms, spends more time on that side of the field in practice. So Ron is definitely sort of trying to put his stamp back on this defense a little bit more. And, you know, based on the way that they played after he took over at the end of last season, I think a lot of the defensive players are really excited about that swap.
Christian McCaffrey is so fun to watch. And what is his best use? And what is the best way they use him? Is it catching the ball out of the backfield, or is it straight running? Because he does everything so well. But what is the best way he fits in that offense?
Yeah, I don't think people realize this about Christian, because just because he gets so much usage out of the backfield, but the guy is maybe the best route runner the Panthers have. And I don't see that as any sort of condemnation of any of their receivers, Greg Olsen or anything, but McCaffrey's just that good. I mean, he really understands route trees and route concepts, and that's the reason that he gets open so much in the passing game. So they're obviously going to continue to deploy him on little dump-offs and short passes and whatnot. But they're hoping that if Cam's arm strength is back, they're going to be able to incorporate him a little bit more in the downfield passing game. That's, I think, where you're really going to see him make more of a leap this year, and that'll do dividends for the Panthers' offense, too.
It's weird to ask, because I know he was a first-round pick, but has he been more of a surprise how good he really is at the NFL level?
I think in terms of running the ball, there was sort of a stigma attached to him in college that he wasn't going to be durable in the NFL, and he wasn't going to be able to run between the tackles, and he has sort of taken both those narratives and squashed them. I mean, yeah. He played more snaps than any running back in the league last year. He was on the field for like 93% of the Panthers' offensive plays. And then in terms of being durable, he hasn't missed a single game. I mean, the guy is almost as close to an Iron Man as they have. I think it's been a little bit of a surprise, at least to the media, that he has been able to have that success running between the tackles and still play that often. But a pleasant surprise nonetheless, and he's obviously getting bigger and bulkier, and that doesn't seem to be tracking to stop anytime soon.
You brought up Greg Olsen. Where are we? He misses games for injuries, we know that, but where is he as of right now in terms of his health, in terms of his availability, in terms of productiveness?
Yeah, he told us back when the team first moved into training camp at the end of July that, hey, my foot's 100% fine, and he's done nothing to disprove that over the past 3 weeks or 4 weeks or so. Obviously he has played in the preseason. He played last week in the game that Cam got hurt. He's 34. He's the oldest player on the team at this point. So you have to sort of temper expectations for him a little bit. He's obviously a lot less explosive than he was when the team first got him and when he was a younger. But he's still someone who has such a relationship with Cam Newton. Their camaraderie is something that you can't buy. I mean, that sort of relationship between a quarterback and a pass catcher, he just knows where to be to bail Cam out. I think expecting another 1,000-yard season from him is probably a little bit ludicrous. But as long as he can stay healthy, he's a guy that the Panthers are excited to have back just because of sort of the trust that Cam already has built in with him.
There are some number of additions to the defense in terms of things that stand out. How does this defense look? The new people and that are coming into the Panthers defense, how will they affect it?
Yeah, the biggest one is Gerald McCoy. Obviously, he comes to Carolina after a number of years in Tampa Bay, and he's been a Pro Bowler down there, it feels like, for forever. He's been eating offensive linemen in practice. I mean, he's tossing grown men aside like they're paper dolls. It's sort of crazy to watch. So I definitely think he's someone who's going to come in. He's going to start, especially as the Panthers make a defensive switch to playing more 3-4. He's going to start for them. And make a huge impact. Obviously, they bring in a couple of other guys like Bruce Irvin, a savvy veteran at defensive end who figures to really play a bunch of snaps in that rotation too. So those two guys, I think, more than anyone really stand out. And then recently, Trey Boston, bringing him in to sort of stabilize the final safety position. He's still getting his feet under him a little bit. There are still plays when you can see the communication might not be entirely correct or there's a bad read or whatnot. But he has experience in the scheme. He knows a lot of the players on this team already from the last time he was here. Those three players are definitely going to be instant impact additions that came in via free agency.
Is this a football team the way it's constructed and built, and based on last year's early success, that if Cam Newton is healthy and is rolling along fine, that this is a team that is very relevant in the NFC, or are there enough holes to go, okay, maybe middle of the pack, but not one of the top teams in the conference?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of depends on how you look at it. I mean, if you think that, I tend to be of the opinion that if you make it in the playoffs, anything can happen. And this is certainly a team that's good enough to make the playoffs. I mean, there is a situation, if Cam's shoulder stays healthy, where this team is winning 10 or even potentially even 11 games, especially after the news about Andrew Luck comes out. I mean, that obviously changes the stakes for one game that they have down the line this year. So I think that there's absolutely a chance that this team gets the 10 wins. And if they do that and they're in the playoffs and you have a healthy Cam Newton, I don't want to be the guy who has to, you know, the defensive coordinator has to come up with a plan for defending him in a one-off game on short notice. I mean, he's just so explosive and dynamic. And unfortunately, it does all come back to Cam. So wherever he goes, this team will go. But there's a chance that this team, if everything clicks right, especially with Cam, they might be able to make a little bit of noise come January, February.
Brendan Marks, Charlotte Observer on the Carolina Panthers on a Progressive Insurance Hotline. Owner Dave Tepper, I know he just bought the team not that long ago, but has he made any bold proclamations about the team? Is he a quiet owner? Is he a more vocal owner? What kind of owner is he?
Yeah, he's absolutely not quiet. I mean, he's not quiet, you know, just speaking, and he's not quiet in terms of what he shows what he can do with his money. I mean, he came in and he's immediately made three pretty significant moves. The first of them is he worked with South Carolina legislatures to come to an agreement on a mixed-use practice facility that the Panthers are going to start building next year. It's expected to be done in 2022. The Panthers are one of the few teams that doesn't have any sort of permanent training facility like that. And so Tepper has come in. He said, listen, we need practice fields. We need places where we can go and avoid weather conditions. We want top-notch sports medicine. We want bars. We want restaurants. He's going to turn this into a whole big shebang down in South Carolina, and it's something that the team has never had before. So that's probably the most visible way that he's done something. But secondly, right now, his current passion project, if you will, or his current goal, is trying to get an MLS team in Charlotte. And he has been working so diligently with both the MLS and with his league executives, people that he has in his front office. He's got Tom Glick, who's a former English Premier League soccer executive who's been really spearheading the charge for the team. And that's something they're hoping they can get resolved by the end of this year. So he has come in, you know, if when somebody's worth $11, $12 billion, that sort of money makes it so they can do a lot of things they want to do in a region. And he has completely transformed the region, even in just a year's span. And if this MLS to Charlotte bid actually ends up happening, I have no idea how many more things we could see from him. Tepper has a grand vision, and he's got the money to make things happen.
That's awesome. Brendan, great stuff. I really appreciate it. Hope we get you on during the season when things are rolling with Newton and everybody else.
Yes, thanks so much, Tony. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I do too. I appreciate it. Brendan Marks, the Charlotte Observer on the Panthers. Interesting team that had it going on last year at 6-2. And then the shoulder injury, the struggles of Cam Newton, could not throw the ball, had a really stagnant offense, and it cost him. They ended up going 1-7 down the stretch in the final eight and finished 7-9 and missed the playoffs. Newton's healthy, competitive team that could be a factor in the NFC. Without him, they don't have much else. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. We'll give our final thoughts on the Panthers as we continue on SB Nation Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. Another of my Facebook friends cost yourself a lot of money by buying one of those as seen on TV tools to diagnose your check engine light. You know the one, it says mechanics hate it when you use this. And it's true, because now they have to figure out which were the original problems and which were the ones that you caused. Cheap replacement parts usually cause more problems than they solve. Just because there's a code for that system doesn't mean that the sensor's bad. The computer is just saying something's wrong. That $500 throttle body could just be dirty. I can't wait till they make an EKG app so we can start doing our own heart tests at home. Folks, what you need is a shop that you trust. Somebody that will come out and talk to you and calm your fears. Check with your friends, see who they use. Get recommendations and try them out until you're just happy. That's how you do it. This is Mike Herzing with Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by our great friends at Jeep. For more tips, go to our new website, letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
Some people spend the summer hiding from the heat, but not you. You spend your summers outside, exploring all of life's adventures, and there's only one way to make sure your summer lives up to that. Experience it in a Jeep SUV during the Summer of Jeep. Whether you're exploring your city in a Jeep Wrangler, the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year, or scaling summits in a Jeep Cherokee with best-in-class 4x4 capability, maybe you'll spend summer finding the perfect view in a Jeep Compass with its available panoramic dual-pane sunroof. Or maybe you'll take an impromptu beach trip in a Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. For great deals on the best-selling SUV brand, visit your dealer during the Summer of Jeep. based on Jeep Cherokee offering two-speed power transfer unit, PTU, with rear-locking axle, low-range 4x4 capability, exclusive Jeep Select Terrain with five settings, auto snow, sand, mud, rock, sport, Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards in its lifetime than any other SUV based on total 2018 SUV sales and awards light vehicle segment. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Thoughts on the Panthers this year, if Cam Newton's healthy?
Cam Newton's healthy, and...
Can they win the division if the Saints are rolling along?
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't think they can.
I mean, I think they have the potential of being better than the Falcons, and everyone's better than the Bucks.
Right? The Bucks. But could they? Could they win? I don't think
they can win the division. I like
their offense when Cam's healthy, but I don't know.
Listen, I mean, the Saints were a bad call away from making the Super Bowl.
I know exactly.
And I have to feel that that team's going to be. Ready. I mean, they have so much motivation, such a big chip on their shoulder. So I think like for second place in the NFC South, it's going to come down between the Panthers and Falcons.
Yep, I agree. I don't know. That defense got reworked. It might be too much. If Newton's healthy, I mean, obviously,
and that's again, just like we were saying about the Colts. I mean, they're only as good as their quarterback.
Yep.
If they lose Cam Newton, their season's done.
Yep, exactly. We still don't know exactly what that foot injury is, although they say it's precaution, but we'll see. All right. We're rolling along on a Monday, SB Nation AM.